Today's guest is Matt Liston. The Chicago area native has spent most of his career in TV and film, taking his degree from Ball State University to Los Angeles, where he's worked on the set of shows like Friends and Seinfeld. He's also dabbled in comedy, having done an improv act at Second City in Los Angeles. But foremost for our purposes here, Matt is a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. And in 2002, he brought his talents back home and spent 4 years in and around the ballpark, chronicling his efforts to bring his team to the World Series by any means necessary. The result is what he calls a docu-comedy entitled Chasing October, A Fan's Crusade. Liston chronicles the successful but ultimately heartbreaking 2003 Cubs season that fell just short of the World Series. The film recently premiered in Chicago. Matt, let's talk about your earliest memories as a Cub fan. Growing up in Chicago Heights, what first drew you to the team as a kid?
Well, growing up in Chicago Heights, that's White Sox country. So it was interesting growing up a Cubs fan down there, no doubt about it. But I became a Cubs fan because my grandfather was a Cubs fan. And, you take a six-year-old to Wrigley Field, well, you got a Cub fan for life. And that's kind of what happened with me. I mean, I still remember the first time seeing Wrigley Field and the green ivy, and Bill Buckner was warming up in the outfield, and forget about it. From then on, I was hooked.
Talk about your work in TV and comedy prior to this filmmaking venture.
Well, essentially, I started working in sitcom. My first gig out of college was interning on the show Friends, and then soon thereafter, I got my first job working on Seinfeld for a couple seasons, their last two seasons, actually. And I think for me that was it was so influential because the cast and crew were such an amazing bunch, and they were willing to help, and you know, for me it was a comedy school. I mean, that's the way I looked at it. A lot of the times, you know, they would even let me rehearse with them if they hadn't casted a part yet. They would call me over, and I would get to read lines with, you know, stars like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jerry Seinfeld, Jason Alexander. That was the greatest, one of the greatest professional experiences, obviously, of my career to this date, and it was so influential. And then soon thereafter, I went to work on Curb Your Enthusiasm as an assistant over there, and once again, that was great because it was improv comedy that was being shot as a documentary, and I just absorbed that experience like a sponge, and I knew I wanted to do something similar to that. After Curb, I started working in the documentary world. I'm currently working on a series for Discovery Channel, but I've always known that I wanted to kind of blend this comedy world with the doc world, kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that was kind of the genesis of Chasing October. So I basically took everything I knew and loved and made this film.
Did you pitch this film to someone to get some support? Or did you just decide, you know, spontaneously one day, I'm going to do this?
No, I essentially, you know, I knew it would be, at least I felt it would be a difficult pitch to get, like any major studio involved. I knew it was going to have to be a passion piece, or it was a passion piece, and in order to get something like this done, I was going to have to do it myself. I essentially just, I took my savings along with my credit cards and just started producing it, with my business partner, Chris Karnak, and we just started it up together, actually back in the spring of 2002. We never really made much of an effort to try to get investors. We knew, like I said, we knew it was going to be a passion piece, and that to get it done, we'd have to do it ourselves. And that's what we did. That's how we get started.
Much the way Kevin Smith or any other independent filmmaker gets started.
Sure. I mean, a lot of times, you know, studios, if you don't have the big names, you know, studios won't back you, and I understood that. I didn't know if they would take an interest in something as specific as Chicago Cubs baseball. Now, I think the film we've created transcends not only Chicago, not only baseball. I mean, the theme of our film is, you know, one fan against all odds, you know, one person. And I think people can identify with that. But sometimes that's not the easiest pitch because, the marketplace will just, you know, you run the risk of when you pitch that, you run the risk of this big production companies thinking, well, it's just a little film about one little part of the country with one sport, and that's not what it is at all. So we made a point to go out, create the film, finish the film on by ourselves to show people that's not what it is. And I think, you know, our phones are ringing, and I think that's because people see what it is. It's bigger than just baseball. It's bigger than the Chicago Cubs. It's bigger than one sport. You know, it's one man's quest to accomplish a dream, and I think many people can identify with that.
Now, how did you go about building some of the connections you did? I know it had a lot to do with the work that you had accomplished already in that time, but you got a lot of major names for this film and lined up a lot of terrific interviews. I mean, so many, you had to put some of them in the credits.
Sure. Well, I mean, I have to tell you, Chicago Cub fans are a passionate breed, and it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're working at the local donut shop or, you know, whether you're a celebrity. And, you know, we made a point, we wanted to fill this film with Chicago Cubs fans, which we have done, and some of those are celebrities. And, you know, guys like Joe Mantegna, Dennis Franz, Jeff Garland, Gary Sinise, Bernie Mac, they're Cub fans first and foremost. And I already had a few of those connections made from, you know, other projects I've worked on, but other ones were essentially friends of friends, you know, saying, hey, there's a Chicago Cubs film, and they would make a call for me. And I have to say, all these Chicago guys, the majority of them comedians, were just great to work with, and were more than willing to help us on this project.
Well, we're going to go now to my conversation with your parents back on the screening that was held August 31st. We're going to see what kind of memories this invokes.
His passion's been awesome since he was just little. I mean,
oh yeah, that's all true.
He always, anything he's involved with, he goes wholehearted. And but this project has been great, hasn't it? And it's been so much fun. I mean, he called us from home base that one time on the field, and he says, "Guess what? I am standing in Wrigley Field on home base.
Right.
Me, Mom, me." He was in heaven.
Was he raised a Cub fan from he come down from you guys, or he just decided he was a fan?
Number one, he loved baseball, didn't he?
He loved baseball. He just, you know, we brought him down here at a young age and stuff, and he just, took to it. That was it.
He brought him to the Cubs game, and the little boy goes,
first time he saw Wrigley Field, he just, you know, that was it.
That was it.
And then, like that one time when I brought him, I lost him. I didn't know where he was, and he was up with,
with
Harry Carey's in the booth, because he was always like that. You know, he would always find a baseball player to get a signature, or Harry Carey, or whoever, he would just take off. I just would watch. I kind of try to keep an eye on him, but for the most part, he would take off and meet whoever he wanted to meet that day.
We have pictures of him when he was a little boy getting Ernie Banks' autograph.
Yeah.
We have pictures of him as an adult getting Ernie Banks' autograph, and now Ernie Banks has asked for Matthew's autograph.
Right. That's
how awesome.
Bray and Kathy Liston, Matt's parents, on the night of August 31st, following the premiere of Matt's film in Chicago. Ernie Banks is now asking for your autograph.
That's Ernie being Ernie. That's him being playful.
How did you get up into the booth with Harry as a kid?
Well, that was, we went early to one of the ball games, and I drew a picture of Harry for some art class, you know, some project we had, and I went to give it to him. He had so many people around that, you know, he signed something for me, you know, for a second, but I wasn't able to pass along the picture that I drew for him. And, I think that's probably, I don't even know how old I was, probably 7 or 8. And anyway, I actually just, after a while, the game was about to start, and I actually just made my way up the ramp there, and security didn't stop me. I think they thought that I was with somebody who was, you know, who'd gotten through. So I just walked up there, and I saw him. I showed him the picture. He loved it and invited me in, and I talked to him for a while, and he signed a ball for me and let me stay up there for a little while. And I think at the time I met Steve Stone as well, and, you know, like I said, being 7 or 8, that was quite a thrill. Scared my dad, though, because he didn't know where the hell I went.
You have a favorite memory at Wrigley, whether it was during the shooting or just some game while you were growing up?
It's pretty tough because there's so many of them. I mean, certainly, you know, I wouldn't say if it's my favorite memory, but, you know, burned in my brain is forever Game 6, the 2003 playoffs, you know, which we show in the film quite extensively. You know, as a Cubs fan, you know, that hurt to see, you know, the Bartman play and to witness the Gonzalez error. But at the same time, I was happy that I was present to see it. kind of like if I was a Boston Red Sox fan, I would want to see that. I would have wanted to be there when the ball went under Buckner's legs. Look, I don't know why that is. I guess, you know, if a loved one dies, you want to be at the funeral, and that's kind of how I felt with Game 6. So,
let's talk about tonight's HBO documentary, Wait Till Next Year, The Saga of the Chicago Cubs. What kind of preview will we get of your work in this show?
Well, you know what? They essentially used fans to kind of personify certain seasons, you know, important season in Cubs history. And I'm kind of the fan who will walk you through the 2003 season, in particular the playoffs, the 2003 playoffs. So you'll see some of our film in terms of some of the footage of us in the stands when the Bartman play happens and kind of that the debacle of that inning. So you kind of get a sneak peek at our film, but our film's quite different from what you'll be seeing tonight.
If you want a sneak preview of Matt's work, Wait Till Next Year, The Saga of the Chicago Cubs. That premieres tonight at 9 Central Time on HBO. And what's going on with your film as far as entering the festival circuit and other future plans?
Yeah, in terms of Chasing October, we're going to kind of do the festival circuit during this winter. And then it will have a limited theatrical release in Chicago and other parts throughout the country, other cities that we know are kind of strong Chicago Cub markets. But, you know, we're going to focus really hard on the home video market. And so we'll have this out on DVD for the fans at the beginning of spring, right as we start our march to the 2007 World Series.
Absolutely. Matt Liston has been our guest. He's the writer, director, executive producer, and just huge dreamer supporting this film that screened recently in Chicago and, as he said, will be on the festival circuit and home video, Chasing October, a fan's crusade. Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jeff. And if fans wanted any more information, they could go to CubsMovie.com. We have what festivals we'll be in, and we'll have dates and where they can purchase the DVD. But, you know, first and foremost, this is for the fans, about the fans, made by a very passionate fan.